And I'm going to talk to you this morning on true worship. True worship. Now, the very fact I say true worship brings up the thought there must be false worship. So let's study it together this morning. John, the fourth chapter. We'll begin reading at verse 19. Now, we're going to skip around in that chapter and even go back to the first part. But let's start reading at the 19th verse first. John 4:19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is Christ, called Christ. When he is come, he'll tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. This scripture begins, or this chapter, I would say, begins with a meeting of a Samaritan woman with Jesus Christ. Scripture says in John 4:4, he must needs go through Samaria. He must need because there was a need there. Jesus was sitting on Jacob's well, and a Samaritan woman came there to walk, to fetch water. Conversation breaks out, and she no doubt was nervous in the conversation, especially talking to a Jew. Remember now, she is a Samaritan woman. She's talking to an Orthodox Jew of the lineage of David. John 4:9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And we'll get into it. Not only was she a Samaritan, but she was a woman. As the conversation progressed about the living water, Jesus saith unto her, in verse 16, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly? The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. There's quite a lesson that Jesus taught the woman here at the well. There are two revelations that one always receives in Christianity. One is the revelation of God, and the other is the revelation of ourselves. Whenever anybody meets God, those two, amen, observations are prominent. No man ever really sees himself till he sees himself in the presence of God. Then he's appalled at what he really is. The Samaritan woman was staggered by Christ's ability to see in her innermost being. She was amazed at his intimate knowledge of the human heart, amazed at her heart in particular. In the 139th Psalm, the psalmist was awed by that same thought. He said, "Thou discernest my thoughts from afar. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." I read a story that once a small girl heard a sermon by C.H. Spurgeon. And when she heard it, at the end of the message, she whispered in her mother's ear, "Mother, how does he know what goes on in our house?" There are no wrappings or disguises which are proof, amen, against the gaze of Christ. It is his power to see in the depths of every heart. It is said, he not only sees the evil there, he sees also the sleeping hero in the soul of every man. He's like the surgeon who sees the disease thing, but also sees the health which will follow when the evil thing is taken away. Jesus gave more to this woman than just forgiveness and revelation of himself. Jesus also taught us in this chapter about true worship. Now, as soon as he brings up worship, she brings up, amen, worship by pointing to the mountain. She said in verse number 20, "Our fathers worship in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." The woman was referring to Mount Gerizim, amen, the most sacred spot in the world, amen, for the Samaritans to worship. She was a Samaritan, and she referred to the fathers as worshiping there. She said, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. But you say, in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Otherwise, she is saying, the Samaritans worship in Mount Gerizim. And you say, the temple at Jerusalem is where you should worship. Now, Jesus told the woman that the old rivalries between the Samaritans and the Jew were on their way out. That the day was coming when controversy about the respective merits of Mount Gerizim and Mount Zion would be irrelevant or didn't matter. That he who truly sought God could find God anywhere. Isn't that amazing? You can find God anywhere. For all that, Jesus still stressed the fact that the Jewish nation had a unique place in God's plan and revelation. Now, Jesus said, true worship. If there's true worship, church, then the others must be false. He didn't say true worship's plural. True worship, meaning that every other kind of worship that is not true is false. Now let's look at a false worship for just a moment. False worship is a selective worship. Somebody said, "What do you mean selective?" It's a worship that chooses what it wants to know about God and omits the rest. It only goes so far. the Samaritans accepted only the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Old Testament. They rejected all the other of the Old Testament. They rejected the great messages of the prophets. Amen. And the devotion is contained in the Psalms. There are ones who will look no farther than scriptures that justify their condition. For example, Romans 3:10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. They don't want to even consider the truth on that. They don't want to consider that that is Old Testament scripture, where there was no sacrifice to take away sin. But under the new covenant, we not only have a perfect sacrifice, but we also have Jesus Christ living on the inside. Amen. Living on the inside. Amen. And he gives us power over sin. Church of God, you do not have to sin if you don't want to sin when you're saved. Ones become selective. They pick and they choose what they want in the scriptures. We would do well to remember that, church. Although no man will grasp the whole knowledge of all the truth, it is total truth that we should aim at. Not the snatching of just little fragments, which happen to suit ourselves and fit our position. Amen. Selective worship. And then there's also ignorant worship. Worship ought to be the approach to God of the whole man. A man has a mind, and he has a duty to exercise that mind. Religion may begin with an emotional response, but the time comes when the emotional response has to be thought out. You have to use your mind in worship. I know that religion is far more than merely the strenuous exercise of the intellect. I know that. Nevertheless, a great part of religious failure is due to nothing other than intellectual laziness. That's why a lot of people don't like to study. They don't like to have to even dig into the Word of God. Why? If they don't understand it, they just skip it. But to truly understand the Word of God, you're going to have to do some digging deep. You're going to have to use that mind of yours. Amen. People become ignorant. They stay ignorant. For example, they say, what I know won't hurt me. Oh, yes, it will. Amen. People say, I don't want to come to the house of God because I don't want to be responsible, or I don't want to be guilty. Well, you're already guilty because you didn't take the opportunity to come to the house of God. Religion is never safe until a man can tell not only what he believes, but why he believes it. It's one thing to say, I'm a member of the Church of God. I've been saved for so many years. But it's another thing to say, why? Why? Not because the church teaches it, but that the Word of God supports it. Religion is hope, but it's always hope with reason. Go to 1 Peter 3:15. It says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man and ask you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Amen. With meekness and fear behind it, be ready to give an answer of the hope. Why do you have hope within you? That's what people want to know. Know the scriptures for yourself. Exercise your mind. Know the scriptures. The only way you know the scriptures is to put forth effort. Exercise your mind to know them. Jesus' answer to the woman was that she did not need to go anywhere special to find God. She didn't have to go to Mount Gerizim, nor to Mount Zion. She did not need to offer sacrifice in some special place. True worship finds God wherever they go. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. What's that tell you? She had some intellect of the scriptures. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he'll tell us all things. Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. It's as if Jesus was saying this. This is not a dream of the truth. I'm truth itself. John 4:27. Upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet, amen, no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Now there is little wonder, let's get into that. There's little wonder that the disciples were in a state of bewildered amazement. Amen. They had just returned from their errand to the town of Sychar and found Jesus talking to a woman, not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman. The Jews had strange ideas of women. The rabbinic precept was like this. Let no one talk with a woman in the street. No, not with his own wife. The rabbis so despised women and so thought of them incapable of receiving any real teaching that they said, better the words of the law should be burned than delivered to a woman. They had a saying, each time that a man prolongs conversation with a woman, he causes evil to himself, and he desists from the law, and in the end, inherits Gehenna. By rabbinic standards, Jesus could hardly have done a more shattering, unconventional thing than to talk to this Samaritan woman. No wonder his disciples were amazed. They were shocked. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, talking to, amen, a woman and a Samaritan woman. But what's Jesus doing? Gradually breaking down the barriers. Now we want to turn our attention to the title of the message, True Worship. We pointed out ignorant, selective worship, false worship, but now let's look at true worship. I believe that's what every child of God wants, is true worship. Verse 23, John 4. But the hour cometh, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus pointed to true worship. He said, God is a spirit. And if God is a spirit, God is not confined to things. And therefore, idol worship is not only irreverent, it's an insult to the very nature of God. If God is a spirit, God is not confined to places. And therefore, to limit the worship of God to Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim, amen, amen, to limit God there, amen, is to limit God in his worship. If God is a spirit, a man's gifts to God must be gifts of the spirit. Animal sacrifices and all man-made things become inadequate. The only gifts that befit the nature of God are the gifts of the Spirit. What? Love, loyalty, obedience, and devotion. Let's talk about the Spirit. A man's spirit is the most elevated part of him. That is a part that lasts when the physical part has vanished. This is a part which dreams dreams, sees visions. And because of the weakness and faultiness of the body, dreams and visions which may never be carried out. It's the spirit of man which is the source of his highest dreams and thoughts, of his ideals and desires. The true worship is when man through his spirit attains to friendship and intimacy with God. Genuine worship does not consist in coming to a certain place, nor in going, amen, through a certain ritual, nor even bringing certain gifts. True worship is when the spirit, the immortal, invisible part of man, speaks to and meets with God himself, immortal and invisible. Amen. Jesus was telling the woman, she didn't need to offer sacrifice, some special place. True worship we can find and have with God any place we go. You can have true worship with God driving your car. It don't have to be here at God's Acres. It don't have to be, amen, going through what we go through every, amen, every service. Amen. You could have true worship with God sitting in the chair at home. Amen. Let's look a little closer to this verse. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God help me to make this plain. If you notice, the S in spirit is a small s. Do you notice that? I sometimes think when we quote that, we're quoting as if we think the Holy Spirit. Not so. Not so. It means our spirit. If God is a spirit, then to have worship, there must be contact between his spirit and our spirit. The spirit, the real you and I, is the part that goes back to God at death. Ecclesiastes 12:7, we quote it often in funerals. Then shall the dust, the outward man, the body, return to the earth as it was. The spirit, the real person that lived in that dust, goes back unto God who gave that spirit. The real you is a spirit. And a spirit is the real life of the Christian. Now, to have true worship, there's one more ingredient needed, and that's truth. In spirit and in truth. You cannot have true worship outside of truth. You cannot have worship unless your spirit is in agreement with Jesus Christ. You cannot be at odds with Christ and still have true worship. John 14 and 6, very familiar. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot have contact with the Father, church, unless it's through Jesus Christ. And to get through Jesus Christ, you have to be, amen, in truth. Just going to church, singing a few songs, listening to a message, is not necessarily true worship. Romans 8:16, the Spirit, large S, meaning Holy Spirit, itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. For the Spirit to bear witness with our spirit must be in truth. You cannot worship God outside of truth. Not and have true worship. Must be walking in all the light, knowledge, and understanding one has received. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. If you're here, we know that there's degrees of understanding. We know that somebody here just saved, back to God, amen, doesn't have the understanding that somebody's been serving God for 30 years. But they have fellowship. Why? Because their spirit agrees with God's spirit. Amen. And they're worshiping and walking in the light, all the light they've got, so they're walking in truth. And we can have fellowship one with another. Dear church this morning, you must be walking in all the light, knowledge, and understanding you have received. You can raise your hand. You can sing. You can sing in quartets, in the choir. But to do that and have true worship, your spirit must agree with God's spirit. And for your spirit to agree with God's spirit, you've got to put in there truth. Let's bring this a little closer so we all can get help. I won't be much longer along this line. To have true worship, there must be an unconditional love between God and us. What do you mean? People have a tendency to love only when it's conditional. As long as everything is going all right, as long as they're getting blessed, as long as there's no hard places to go through, conditions are right. But look at the apostles. In prison, beaten, slandered, but loved God so much they was willing what? To lay down their lives for him. Look at Jesus, beaten, spit upon, slandered, and crucified, yet he loved us unconditionally. When you love someone, church, you communicate with that one. You call. You might write a letter. You might text. Amen. And you express your love. What are you getting at? That's how it is with God. You communicate with God. Amen. You get on your knees, but there's times you cannot get on your knees. But you communicate. Amen. You don't become one of these children that won't speak to the Father. Amen. You communicate with God. Why? And you express your love to God. Amen. You talk to him. Amen. You obey him. You do what he wants you to do, and you obey his word. You read his word. You study his word. Amen. Why? Why? Dear ones, do you actually know that when you read the word of God, it's God talking to you? Amen. Do you know that? It's just not like reading a short story. It's actually God talking to you. Amen. There's ones that just fly into church. And I know that could happen once in a while, but not every time. Amen. People, amen, live real close, and here they come flying into church late about every Sunday. Then there's people that live in Columbus that's here probably, amen, 10, 15 minutes early. True worship. Amen. Mark 12:30. We're going to get into this and we're going to close. Mark 12:30. This gets close to his church. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all, notice that word all means every bit, doesn't it? All thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength must be what worships God. But it's always easy just to let the form take the place of love. It's always easy to let worship become a matter, amen, of the church building or what's going on in the building instead of a matter of our whole life. Now listen to me. The priest and the Levite could pass by the wounded traveler because they were eager to get on with the ritual of the temple. It's much easier to say, we went to church this morning instead of entering into true worship. Amen. I know there's a satisfaction in just coming to church. But Isaiah, down in Haiti, whenever we'd preach or anybody preached there, the altars would fill up. I've told you this, double and triple. Amen. Why? There's a good feeling. And just going to an altar. But true worship is when you give your heart, your mind, your soul, and all your strength completely over to God. All. God's not number two or three. He's number one in your life. God help us to see that worship is more than just coming to church Sunday and Wednesday. What are you talking about? You can have your own personal worship with God at home. Amen. In between services. Amen. You don't have to be here at God's acres just to enter into true worship. You can have true worship, amen, wherever you meet conditions with God. I hope I'm getting to. Our motivation in worship must be out of love for God and love for His truth. Amen. True worship is what pleases God, not a place, but true worship is wherever we meet Bible conditions and our love for God, amen, fills our soul, our mind, our heart, and He's our strength. The woman of Samaria, whom Jesus met at the well of Jacob, perceived a real truth that extends out to you and I. True worship, as I close and vows, amen, our spirit and truth. They both must be active in true worship. We must be walking in all the light that God has revealed to that soul. Then your mind, you seek those things which are above. Your mind, your heart, your strength. Amen. Everything about you, amen, is centered on Christ. There are times you can enter into true worship right at home, just getting alone with God. And sometimes those are the best services or times that you have. Just you and God. I love those times when His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Amen. And you get alone with God, and amen, and it encourages you. Sometimes you wonder, am I really on the right track? Am I really doing, amen, all that I should? But then when you enter into true worship with God, and God rains down from heaven the Holy Spirit, it's a witness to our spirit, amen, that what? We are the children of God. True worship, putting in your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God has to be number one, not a boyfriend, not a girlfriend, not your own husband or wife. God will have place for them, but God has to be number one in your life. Amen. Amen. Now we're talking on worship. We're talking on praise and things in the service. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. Amen. Here in the song service. Amen. If you're doing what's right, you're obeying God, you're worshiping Him in your spirit and in truth, you got every right to put that hand up. Amen. And you got every right to holler amen. Amen. I was telling Brother Sesher back there, I said, we just had a replacement for Brother Gordon. Amen. Sister Dell, when she come up, she was getting pretty fiery. Amen. I thought she was going to take off and start throwing things here in a little bit, but she didn't. But true worship, amen. Not only here at God's Acres, but have true worship in your own personal time with God. There's a lot more that could be said along the line of true worship. It's not places, because God could be anywhere you meet conditions. Anywhere, amen, your spirit lines up with His spirit, you can have true worship. If you've been failing along that line, God help you. God help you to get back where you need to be. God help you to get back to true worship. Amen. Instead of just coming to church, enduring, and going home. Let us stand while we sing a verse.